Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. I found that a journey of an entrepreneur is never really a straight line, or frankly, the path to success. There's twists and turns, lots of litter, and failed attempts as we continue to strive for business success. My guest today is no stranger to those struggles. In fact, it's those struggles that have led him to a successful business, and as importantly, a passion of helping others. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Dave Daly, Monster Motivator. We're going to talk about that, Monster Motivator, to discuss the lessons learned on his journey as a serial entrepreneur and the road that led him to his passion and motivation for the work he does today. Dave, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. We met about a month or so ago, I think it was, and actually had the chance to be on your podcast, and I'll give you a chance to talk about that in a second. But before we get going, you can tell them right now if you want. Take a few minutes, tell the audience about yourself and about your business and anything you'd like to share for the first couple minutes, and take it away.
Let's do it. I'll even bring them right to the day one. I'm very thankful, Angelo, that the start isn't nearly as important as the finish. Because if it was, I'd be finished. So it started out as I was put up for adoption at birth. In the first 18 months of my life, I was in an orphanage in North Philly. I'm from the East Coast. Takes about probably 2 seconds to figure that out. And, you know, had that struggle, you know, left back in the second grade, diagnosed with ADD, said I had a learning disorder, never graduated high school. And at 19, I'm sitting in a jail cell looking at 8 to 10 if things don't go my way. To take it a little bit further, had a really bad motorcycle accident early on that helped me break through a major fear barrier. And I wrote a book on fearless is bullshit. And what that means is we're conditioned to think that if you feel fear, you must be broke. That's how I was brought up, right? Mm-hmm. There must be something wrong if you feel fear. And I realized going through my struggles that when you feel the fear, that's actually a natural feeling. It's like love or anger. It's either going to be your heaviest anchor or your strongest propeller. And that motorcycle accident really helped me go to that next level. I was struggling with my first business on selling it because my old conditioning reminded me, maybe I got lucky. Suppose I can't do this again.
Some self-doubt.
Suppose I lose this, right? This old conditioning, because I'm really not even supposed to be here, is what society told me growing up. So that motorcycle accident made me realize that nothing's guaranteed and it could be over tomorrow. So that helped me within a year after my motorcycle accident. Within a year, I actually sold my first company. And from that point on, I never had that fear barrier again in that particular column.
Okay. Let's dig in.
Yeah.
Let's dig into fear a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So fear, it conjures up so many different kind of ideas of what people are afraid. I mean, they, you know, people will say, what's the number one thing you're afraid of? And people will say, public speaking over death and things like that. So when you're facing fear, whether you faced it or the people that you speak to face fear, dig into, you know, what is that essence of that fear?
Well, first is, and it's a great example you gave because I use it all the time. I believe that the greatest, look, there's fear of the fear of the unknown, the fear of what if, the fear of multiple things. But I think what it really comes down to and the reason that people say that they're more afraid of public speaking than they are death is because it comes down to this number one fear, Angelo. It is the fear of what other people think. And okay. I have a hack for that.
All right.
Right? And here's the hack. Here's the life hack for that. First of all, identifying it. Secondly, understanding that we're human beings. So what that means is not only are we going to be judged on a daily basis, we're going to do the judging as well. So when you can understand that we're human beings, we're going to be judged, your only job is to make them accurate. And that just means showing up in your flavor. And that's where that maps back to what I really love to teach and share, besides how to break through, identify and break through those dread of fear barriers, is authentic, real life branding, both personal and business.
Okay. Well, I mean, so many people, and I watched a few of your videos. I'm way off my script, but I love this. So I watched a couple of your videos, and you were going through the process. And in that room, where the one I saw was not a lot of millennials. They were, you know, 35, 40, probably more 45 plus, right? That maybe coming to changes in their lives, maybe going through divorces, maybe lost their jobs, and losing their confidence, right? So that now I got that fear of, what, to your point, what do people think about me? Yeah, I remember I was very fearful to stand in front of groups. I used to play in a band, and I was a drummer. And it was like, let's move you up front. No, move me as far back as you can, because I'm afraid what people will think about me, regardless of my drumming, just me. And I finally overcame that. And now, obviously, I'm here talking on the radio and love to give presentations to people. But to your point, there was that one thing that changed me as far as not being fearful about what people thought about me.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really the golden egg, right? Is identifying it and then having tools to get through that, right? And one of the first things is to identify that, to embrace that, because I'm a big believer that that fear is a real feeling, like I spoke about earlier, right? But the real goal, the real direction, what you want to go after is facing that fear, getting on the other side of that fear, so now you can become courageous. See, courage comes from that three-letter word, core, and that comes from the inside. That's really what we're after. We want to become courageous when we get on that other side of that fear barrier.
So how do people, like, go? They go to your one of your seminars, and you're getting, I saw that. That was kind of cool. And especially
the roar, the monster motivator roar.
Yeah, there was, I'll say, an elderly lady.
Yeah.
But she was up there, you know, doing it. It was really kind of fun. But so I go to that. You get me hyped. I get all excited. I walk out the door. The next day, I wake up and go, holy crap. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I don't have the confidence. So how do you motivate people to continue to move on that journey when they're not standing in front of you?
Love it. I love it. A few ways. First of all, is I believe there's so many motivational speakers, and I'm using air quotes, that run from the word motivation because they don't feel like it's deep enough. They don't feel like it's deep enough for their brand, right? But here's what I want to remind everybody. There's what I call life's trifecta. And life's trifecta goes like this. Motivation, inspiration, and perspiration. And life's trifecta has to go in those steps. So motivation, you need something to get you to the starting blocks. You need something that's going to get your attention, that's going to give you a direction, which a lot of times are goals, right?
Yep.
Short, medium, and long-term goals. Secondly, that has to be backed up with inspiration, something that comes from within here, right? Your why, and we can go a little deeper on that if we have the time on your why, right? And third, nothing happens without inspired action. You need that perspiration. But here's what's interesting about this, Angelo. If you do it in reverse, and you take all this action without your why in place and without your direction, without your goals, all you're going to do is chase your tail and eventually give up. So motivation, inspiration, and perspiration, all three. And the other thing that I want to share and go a little bit deeper on your question is what's called, and I'm going to share this with your audience in a PDF once we end. It's called Your Signature Story. Learn how to sell without selling. So there's an actual blueprint that I put together, and there's four columns on this. And the first is open up with a heartfelt story that's going to connect with your audience. Second is tie that in with real world content. Third, another heartfelt story, or you leave an open and loop in your first story that ties it all together. And fourth is social proof, because I work with commission salespeople, right?
Okay.
High-end commission salespeople, medium to small to medium business owners, right? In the multiple six and seven figures, because that's really been my world for the last 20 plus years. I've been fortunate enough to have built and sold three companies in three different industries and also crashed one to the ground.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, by the way.
Because it's so important for people to understand that, right? In today's world, are you branding and marketing in 2020 or 2004? That's my first question, mm-hmm. and identifying that, because it's so polar opposite. The evolution has been so fast and intense over the last 10 to 12 years, and I know I'm speaking to the
right.
to the masses when I'm sharing this with you, because this is your wheelhouse, right? Is understanding the difference between branding and marketing in 2020 versus 2004.
And it is a big difference. And in your process of motivation to your why, and mm-hmm. it's interesting, and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking to myself, and you said if they start with kind of the action, mm-hmm. and I run into that all the time. People want to say, I need a marketing guy and I need a brochure. Well, wait a minute. No, maybe you need a message first. We need to go up to the top, mm-hmm. think about your strategies and things like that. And Mark Cuban, there's a video that I've used in some of my presentations, and it talks about, you know, entrepreneurs and starting a business. And his number one bullet was, you got to take the first step. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you're saying. You have to be motivated. If you're not motivated, it doesn't really matter. Nothing else is going to work. So you have to drag yourself out there, put it out there, and frankly, take a chance, and you learn. I mean, I'm sure the first time you went out and did a motivational speech probably didn't quite go the way you thought, and I know I can certainly say that about some of the presentations I gave. I remember one of my very first early on presentations, I was so nervous and so scared because it was big to the board, and 2 hours before the presentation, my VP of marketing changed everything. And I freaked out because I'd been practicing for days, and now he's changed my script. Right? I didn't know how to bob and weave, so it changed quite a bit. Let me go back. I have a couple standard questions I do like to ask. And when you think about growing your business, mm-hmm. what keeps you up at night?
For me, it's always being conscious of scaling. But scaling in the right way, right, is, and what I mean by that is identifying your weaknesses so you can enhance them with the right people and the right systems so you can now run with your strengths. And I think that's where so many small, medium, mid-sized business owners and even commission salespeople fall down, because they don't, they feel like they have to do it all, and if they don't do it all, that there must be something mm-hmm. wrong. But it's actually the reverse. Once you can reverse engineer and figure out your weaknesses, so now you can triple down with your strengths, you're going to win.
Okay. All right. What's the best business advice you've ever received and or given?
That was it. That is 1,000% for me, not even a second place, identifying your weaknesses. So now you could triple down on your strengths. You know, one of my mentors years ago told me, two things he told me that I take with me today, Angelo, is number one, let me be free to be me. Mm-hmm. And on a personal development note, he said, kid, you don't have to slow down. You just have to calm down.
There you go. I like that. I've been told, I'm from upstate New York, so a few times, I was told, especially when I came to California.
Like, right?
Why are you so hype? Why are you so angst? Like, oh, no, it's just me. You guys are all too laid back out here. So let me move to about the businesses. You've had three successful businesses mm-hmm. and one not so successful. Mm-hmm. So those are lessons learned. So I'm going to ask you to give me 60 seconds or so on why one of your businesses was successful. Mm-hmm. And then I want to learn about why the reason was the other one was not.
All right, so we'll talk about the one that I built and sold when I first came out here in 2008. Worst economy we've known since the Depression, mm-hmm. right? Relocated from the East Coast, didn't know anybody. Bought a struggling sports nutrition store, retail business, right? And everyone in my inner circle said, if they could have caught me, Angela, they would put me in a straitjacket. They said, you're out of your mind, right? But I saw some things in the branding and the marketing I thought I could do. And within the first year and a half, we tripled the numbers. And then by 2012, it made sense for me to flip it. That's That's a business I love to really dissect for people when I either speak from stage or when I talk, coach my coaching clients, because it's so real and applicable, and there's so many real life stories in there. And the other question was about the
one that didn't.
Well, the one that I crashed to the ground, right, is I didn't do what I thought I did, meaning I thought that I identified my weaknesses and had the systems in place with the people, and I didn't. And so that was a restaurant.
Okay.
Right? And I realized that I'm better on this side of the counter than that side when it comes to the systems on the back end. But here's what's interesting. On my strengths, the branding and the marketing, give you a quick story.
Sure.
When I was ready to do my grand opening, my general manager at the time, who opened up 22 restaurants across the country, okay, both fast food and high-end dining. This was a burger joint,
okay,
right? He said, what are you expecting to do opening? I said, I think probably going to do probably about 32,000 gross, mm-hmm. average $10 average sale. He goes, absolutely not. He says, you don't have a national name. You're not on a main highway. You're in a little town, and you have a $10 average sale. We were in business for 3 months until I actually pulled the plug, and we did average of $57,000 a month for a $10 average sale. So on one end, we actually were successful, but I didn't have the back end tied up mm-hmm. and secure like I thought I did. And I want everyone to understand my verbiage here. The buck stops here.
Right.
I didn't have that in place. And that's, I think, so important for people to get.
Well, I get this one, and I know which one it is because obviously I did my homework.
Yeah.
But I actually, as a marketing guy, had this brilliant idea. This is several years ago, and one of my clients was a restaurant chain, and mm-hmm. I got two partners, and we went in and bought one.
Mm.
And we learned pretty quick, to your point, we were better on the eating side of the counter than we were on the development right. side. And I had worked in a lot of restaurant chains doing marketing, and I thought we could make this happen, mm-hmm. but our ideas and just mm-hmm. what we were thinking we could accomplish, it was a huge mistake. And unfortunately, it was one of those ones my wife said, do not do it. And I did it. And, you know, to this day, if I start talking about it, and she's listening, probably she's going to tell me later, I told you so. So you still have, and we're going to talk about the motivation in a second, but you still have a current business. It's a
fire restoration business. Yeah, I opened it up in 2013 and have had that. And that was a business and industry that one of my businesses back east that I built and sold as well.
Okay, so a lot of familiarity with it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you start that from scratch?
Yep.
So you're in a new marketplace and you decide to launch a new business. So did you do some market research and do a lot of investigation, or did you just go, I'm going to start a business tomorrow?
Then again, I know we talked about on my show, you'd be the guy that would enhance my weaknesses, because if I told you what I think is market research, so you ready? This is the truth. I did the math on this struggling sports nutrition store on a napkin.
Okay. All right. we're actually,
and I know that gives you the chills.
Yeah, it does actually. So I know we're going to be coming out of time. So let's talk a little bit about some point in time you pivoted and added motivational speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that as the monster motivator.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I do keynote speaking around the country, but I also do business and branding coaching for small to medium businesses and commission salespeople.
So you do business branding and personal branding. Correct?
Right.
For individuals.
In other words, coaching on that end
okay.
on how to do that in today's world, right? In today's economy versus, again, 2004. So between I host a podcast called Brand Builder TV. And it's just all under that umbrella, which is Dave Daly International.
Okay.
Yeah.
And really working with folks. So what's a typical engagement for you as far as public speaking? How does that, I mean, do you have a website people go to?
Oh, yeah.
Book you, or do you have an agent? How does that work?
Yeah, so we don't have an agent, but I do have a website. I have testimonials. I have speaker reels. So what would happen is if you, like I just was out in Boston and did a keynote for 300 IT people. Talk about contrast.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Daly, the Monster Motivator, and 300 IT. They say, where did this guy come from, Mars?
Well, I was in the action sports industry for a long time, and I was invited back with a couple people out here, a couple, you know, pro surfers and stuff, and we flew back to New York City, went to a sports conference, and we were on the panel, and we walked up, and I was in my Hawaiian shirt and shorts, and the other guy was at the same, and in the panel, everybody was in a, you know, button-down and suit and tie, and they looked at us very strangely, right? But that's
branding in today's world, right?
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time, but yeah, that's branding in today's world.
All right. How much time do I have here, Paul? A minute? 2 minutes? 2 minutes. All right. Well, let's do this. Why don't we tell the audience about how they can reach you and about your book that I see sitting here?
So we have this book, which is going to be yours. I'm going to be signing it over to you. Fearless is Bullshit, and we talked about that. And I'm real easy to find on all my social media. Dave Daly, D-A-L-E-Y-M-M, like Monster Motivator, .com. So we're real easy to find. And coaching, keynotes, anything, workshops, anything like that, when it comes to the commission sales world and small to medium business owners, that's who I connect with the most because that's really been my DNA.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I appreciate you driving. I know you came a little distance for this, and I really appreciate it. And thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzagroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO but not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to tell others about it so they can benefit from the great content like we had today. And they can listen while they're driving, while they're cleaning their house, taking a bath, or any other way they want to listen to podcasts. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.